Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans' Oklahoma State Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. And it is an odd Tuesday off day for us this week.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. I have to admit, I lied to our listeners. I told them we wouldn't be podcasting on Tuesday because I figured we would probably be podcasting on Wednesday when we were most likely expecting to talk to players. Turned out we got to talk to them on Monday afternoon. And now we're waiting till Tuesday to podcast.
We wanted to give a little space between podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Between Kansas and West Virginia, just to gather our thoughts. Monday's a little quick turnaround for their podcast.
Especially when you consider that we were taping our last podcast early Sunday morning.
That's true.
In the wee hours of Sunday morning.
That's very true.
It was not a lot of time to prepare for a podcast. So we'll...
Wait, you prepare for this?
A good 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Solid 30 seconds.
Gotcha. I might get 29 seconds.
Yeah. It's a solid 30 seconds for me. An interesting week. The more and more I look at this West Virginia team, the more I'm convinced that they're a pretty good team. They played Oklahoma tough back when we thought Oklahoma was a big mess, and they sort of were. Then they lost to Texas Tech, which was weird. You look at some of the things that they've done, they've been pretty good in a lot of games. I don't know if I'm ready to jump on Mike Gundy's limb and call them the best 4-4 team in the country.
That seemed a little much.
That was coach speak.
It was coach speak, like last week when he says it's gonna be a fourth quarter game against Kansas.
Yeah, exactly. So, but they are a really good team. They always play Oklahoma State tough in Morgantown at Mylon Pusker Stadium. It's one of my favorite stadiums in the Big 12. I know you haven't been there.
Never been. I will take your word for it.
The view over the back is very much like Boise with mountains in the background. And
how many couches can you see from the stadium?
I'm going to count. Okay. I'll count this time.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
We'll see. Have to see what the situation is there. That's a very good question. We'll get to our three questions here in a little bit, but it was a fun week talking to players this week. Getting them on Monday afternoon was very different. Right after Gundy spoke at his usual Monday luncheon. Hopefully the players are taking advantage of their mandatory off day to go vote in nothing that they can vote in.
There's not a Payne County election. I looked.
Yeah.
There's not a local Oklahoma County election. I think it's Luther.
Yeah.
And I didn't start going through the roster figuring out what's what, but there's not a lot to vote today.
Yeah. But they've got the day off. So typically they have Monday off. They adjusted their schedule. They normally practice Sunday night, have Monday off, then get in their regular schedule on Tuesday. Instead they went earlier on Sunday, practiced late Monday and Tuesday off. So it's an interesting week for them. Mike Gundy doesn't like messing with the schedule a lot.
He does not.
He likes his routine to be the same. So we'll see. Hopefully that doesn't bite them. But West Virginia's having to change things up, I'm sure,
for them as well. Yeah, I assume West Virginia's the same boat. I was actually reading a story, I think, from Sports Illustrated this morning that there are some teams that got waivers for this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They didn't say any team specifically. But some teams, some conferences, I think, the MAC starts tonight.
Right, they've got games.
So they got waivers. But a lot of the waivers, I think, were for sports like soccer and whatnot that are in the postseason play. Yeah. But
that makes sense.
Some football teams got it, too. So but I assume West Virginia's in the same boat.
Right, I would assume so. And who knows, they might have Tuesday as an off day anyway. You never know how teams handle their schedules in terms of what they do with that type of thing. So... But West Virginia is coming off of a really impressive win. We saw that Iowa State team 2 weeks ago, and that's a good team. That's a good defense. They put up a lot of yards and 38 points on that defense. You got to be impressed with those guys after that.
Yeah, I'm really impressed by it. They had Letty Brown go over 100 yards.
Right.
Daigie threw for almost 300 yards.
Right.
He threw for the most yards all season on Iowa State's secondary. Had two receivers go over 100 yards. They put up big numbers. I just don't understand this team because when you look at it, like you said, they lost to Tech. They hung with OU, got smacked around by Baylor.
Right, yeah.
And so I just, and then they upset Iowa State. I don't know what to make of this team. I thought Gundy seemed very respectful and fearful at the same time.
Right. Of them. That's fair.
You know, it kind of surprised me. The tone Gundy had yesterday kind of took me back a little bit. Like, I wasn't expecting that kind of, I don't want to say reverence, but just kind of respect, I guess, towards West Virginia.
He was very businesslike, very serious for the majority of his time when we were actually talking football. We got into some other things, and he loosened up and lightened up a little bit. Yeah. But it was very much, you know, not thinking about Kansas and on to West Virginia, and very businesslike in his approach.
It just seemed like he had had this wake up call watching film or something, like, oh, right. No, this team's dangerous.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he even said at the beginning, I don't want to talk, there's no reason to talk about Kansas. Just go on. And it was like, oh, okay. Like, well, all right, sure. But that has me a little more concerned. And that makes, I was thinking this is going to be a tough game, especially after the Iowa State win, but I still think. And I still lean towards OSU's defense in this, but I'm a little more worried now.
Yeah. I think that becomes the key, is what the Oklahoma State defense can do after the Iowa State defense struggled the way that it did. You know, I was able to you were driving. I was able to watch a good bit of that game, the Iowa State-West Virginia game. And, you know, Iowa State had their issues. I mean, they had a pick six for a touchdown, but that was redundant. Pick six for a touchdown. Yeah. They had a pick six. And they had their moments, but in the second half in particular, they really did not slow down West Virginia very much at all. So it was really interesting to watch that unfold and see how they struggled against that team. You mentioned Letty Brown, who was over 100. He'd only been averaging about 70 yards a game this season. You know, I wrote just a couple of weeks ago about all the great running backs in this league, and he didn't make the list because he was like ninth in the league in rushing, and he was a guy that was second in the league last year.
Yeah,
so
he was in Big 12 Media Days.
Yeah, he was. He's a big time talented player, and he was a lot of fun to talk to. But he didn't even make that list because he wasn't even in the neighborhood of 100 yards.
He's gone over 100 yards since you've done that list both games.
He's apparently very angry with me.
He saw the list and
he must have seen the list.
I'm going to show this guy right. I'm going to run all over these next two teams.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been interesting to see how that has developed. That's one area where I think two things come into play for Oklahoma State. One is, I think that they're a little bit better run defense than Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they definitely have a better pass rush, or more intense pass rush. Yeah. Iowa State likes to drop a lot of guys, whereas Oklahoma State is going to bring guys. You don't know where they're coming from all the time.
And they're going to rotate a lot more guys than Iowa State did.
Exactly.
Too.
A lot deeper.
And they'll drop guys. They'll disguise it so well, you have no idea.
Yeah.
And so I lean towards Jim Knowles and the defense again in this, but man, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. You look at the offensive side of the ball. I think Oklahoma State, if they can maintain their momentum that they've developed over the last 2.5 games, really, I think that they've got a good chance to go and put some points on the board against West Virginia. They are a good defense. They're not a great defense. Mm-hmm. They're stout up front. Got some guys that'll I think make things difficult for Jalen Warren at times to run the ball. But I think that Oklahoma State can find some success in the passing game as long as Spencer Sanders is on his game again, and mix it up with Tay Martin, Brennan Presley, you know, the Green Twins, whoever else is getting involved. And I think that they can find some success on that side of the ball. What do you see for the Oklahoma State offense, Jacob?
Yeah, I think I kind of compared. I know I saw a few plays of Iowa State game, and it seemed like Breece Hall wasn't seeing too much resistance at times.
Right.
Which I think is encouraging for someone like Jalen Warren. But it just all comes down to what Spencer Sanders can do.
Yeah.
I think that's every week, really,
right,
at this point with OSU, is what Spencer's going to do. I like to I'm starting to feel like he's taking the next steps forward. And so I think if he continues to take those next steps forward, keeps his head, doesn't make bad decisions, I think OSU's going to be fine. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what their pass rush does can do against OSU's offensive line that's found rhythm.
Right.
I'm starting to like what I see from the offensive line more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last week, when you know, I'll throw a Kansas, but it was Kansas, but I mean, they were protected very well last week.
Yeah.
So, you know, against Kansas team that, you know, rushed OU pretty well. So
yeah that's right.
I don't know. I tend to think the offense is going to be maybe the main concern, but I think it's going to be okay.
Were you at all surprised by the point spread on this OSU West Virginia game?
I was at first.
Yeah.
And then the way Gundy acted yesterday, I wasn't surprised anymore.
Right.
So maybe Gundy talks to the Vegas odds makers. I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, I kind of thought OSU would be favored maybe 6 or so.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking the 5 to 6 range.
Yeah.
You factor in home field advantage, I guess that mm-hmm. that takes up a few points. So maybe that's where it comes in there for West Virginia. Oklahoma State players apparently have some fond memories of what it's like playing in West Virginia based on what Brennan Presley has been told.
Yeah. Yeah, that surprised me.
Yeah. He essentially said that they're crazy drunks.
Yeah.
The phrase that stuck with me.
Crazy drunks.
Out of everything that
he didn't know about the couch burning.
No, he didn't.
He had no idea about that.
Not familiar with that. Of course, it's been a while since Oklahoma State has lost out there. So
it's true.
Their guys aren't keeping up with that, maybe. But still, it's an interesting place to play. And like I said earlier, Oklahoma State has been played tight every the last few times that they've been there. So it's highly anticipated to be a close game. We expect a fourth quarter game again, I think.
This time for real, not the Kansas talk.
Exactly.
Gundy keeps pointing out, when no one argue with him, how are we supposed to argue with Mike Gundy about
right.
that?
Like, right. We're going to be the ones that step up and say, no, Kansas is terrible.
Yeah, no. I mean,
yeah.
They just played OU well, too, so I mean, what were we supposed to argue?
But exactly.
We weren't going to argue anyways that they'd just gotten smoked by OU.
Right, exactly.
You know, not going to print what he said.
Yes, exactly. That's our stance. We'll just we'll protest quietly. But this really should be a fun game. I think another tight one. How much do you think Oklahoma State's experience in so many close games, and West Virginia has a lot too, but they've lost a couple of theirs on last second field goals. How much do you think Oklahoma State's experience in tight games plays into this week?
I think a lot, to be honest. Yeah. I think even the Iowa State loss helps. You know, tight game like that, I think they learn some things and about themselves. And so I tend to lean that way. I mean, it's such a veteran group pretty much across the board except receiver, you know, that I think I think the veteran aspect, the experience in these close games, they beat Baylor by double digits, beat Kansas State by double digits with strong second halves. And so I think, well, I guess Kansas State was strong first half, but, you know, I think that's the huge factor. And I think Malcolm talked about that yesterday. And who else talked about that? Someone else talked about that too, but I know Malcolm talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember either now, but
Maybe Braden Cassidy, I think, talked about it a little bit too.
So, yeah.
I think that's a huge factor. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely agree. I think the more you're in that situation, the more you're prepared for it. And because of the veteran leadership on this team, there's not a situation that scares these guys. You know, you've made the comment. I don't know if we ever said it on the podcast or not, but you made the comment that if the officials rule a first down on Brennan Presley's 4th-and-2 play at Iowa State, they'd probably go and score.
Yeah, I had full confidence in them to go score a touchdown at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Either take the lead or at least get a field goal chance to tie it up. So, you know, that's just the way that this team is. And I don't think that anything rattles these guys, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. But I think for a good portion of the offense as well, I think that their experience, their knowledge of what they're doing, they just don't panic. And a lot of that comes from their leadership. A lot of it comes from their veteran experience. I mean, you start looking down through the roster, through the depth chart, and it's juniors and seniors all over the place on the defense, and it's really showing. Just like, and I wrote about in Tuesday's Oklahoman, the third down defense. I think that comes down to the fact that so many of these guys have been together. They've been here the entire time that Coach Knowles has been here, for the most part, for most of them, and he understands how to call plays for them, and he's aggressive, and they fit that style. They have the same ideas about what's going to work, and the same desires for how to play. And I think that plays into a lot of their third down success. So it's been really interesting following the progression of this team from when Jim Knowles first came in, and they were kind of having to dial some things back because he was what he was putting in was a little bit too complex for them right off the bat. And then just watching them learn and grow and develop into what they are now has been pretty fascinating. So, all right, we'll move on to three questions now. Unless there was anything else about the game in particular that we needed to address.
I think we're good. I will say that I think one thing she pointed out. I think that close loss against Texas last year. Mm-hmm. Still sticks out in my mind. Yeah. Maybe in that experience.
Yeah, yeah. That's that had some value in it, I think. Mm-hmm. So,
and then you come back and you win at Texas,
right?
Losing by double digits and come back. I think
right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Texas is a big help for OSU.
Yeah,
big help for a lot of teams.
Big help for a lot of teams.
We should talk about a monkey, but I guess I'm still having a hard time believing that's all real.
Right. Exactly. I'm with you there. All right. We'll move on to three questions. We will start with the defensive side of the ball.
Ooh, here we go.
We'll go West Virginia quarterback Jarrett Daigie over or under 274.5 passing yards.
Under.
Under.
Yeah. I'm going to go under. I think the pass rush is going to be the biggest reason.
Yeah. I am. I'm with you on that. I'm going under as well. So apparently, I set the number too high. but that's okay. Yeah, I think he'll get in the 240 range. Is kind of where I target him for. But I'm with you. I think the pass rush is something that he hasn't dealt with the way that he's going to have to deal with it on Saturday. So, all right. Moving on to we'll stick with the defense. Playing on that same theme, over or under 1.5 interceptions by the Oklahoma State defense.
I'm going to take over because Daigie has a penchant to throw.
Yeah,
interceptions. He's really capable of throwing. He threw two last week,
right?
And I think did he throw three the week before?
I can't remember exactly
what he did the week before. He's thrown multiple touchdowns. I feel like in a couple weeks in a row. It may not be three, but it was. I feel like he's got a little bit of a turnover tendency.
Yeah, I'm going over as well. Yeah. I think this defense, they didn't get any turnovers at Iowa State, but they've been on the turnover train a little bit. Other than that, that game, I think they're going to find a way to get some picks.
I'll add a bonus question. Do you think it's Jason Taylor or Colby Harvell-Peel adding to their competition?
I think one of them will get one. I can't say which one, but I think one of them will get one.
Oh, I tend to lean towards Jason Taylor. That ball just finds him.
It really does. So it's fascinating how often it finds its way to his hands. So. Yeah.
He knows how to catch spears.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. All right. Finish up three questions with the offensive side of the ball. Jaylen Warren, over or under 30.5 carries?
I'm going over. You rested the man last week.
Right.
You know, he had, what, six, seven carries?
Nine, I think.
Nine, so, okay.
He ended up getting up to nine.
Took a couple away from him. Sorry, Jaylen. He's rested. He's ready to go. Something's falling outside.
Yeah, crazy stuff happening across the street
there. Hope everyone's okay over there. But, yeah, I think he's rested and ready to go. And that sets him up for a big night. Because I think we're going to go back to the two-back system here. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we're going to see that more with just Jaylen and a little bit of Dominic Richardson mixed in. Though Dominic was the offensive player of the week.
He was.
The upset over Spencer.
Right.
But I think we'll see a lot of Jaylen Warren.
I think this is the first time in the history of the podcast that we've agreed on all three of the three questions.
Oh, it might be, yeah.
But I'm with you on the over as well. I think he gets up around 35 again. I think he gets a heavy workload that has worked well for Oklahoma State in past games at West Virginia. I covered one where J.D. King had over 30 carries.
Jeez.
Yeah. And
that's the way back machine almost.
Right, exactly. So, you know, this is a method that works for them in Morgantown, and I think they'll go to it, and I think they'll find some success. You mentioned Breece Hall had some big runs. I think you'll see Jaylen Warren breaking into open field and getting some opportunities to make some guys miss or run over guys, whichever.
Do you think they go back to, I think, was it Texas, right, that he got most of the third quarter off because they went to Richardson? It might be something like that where they kind of load up to where he's rested for the fourth and they just pound the ball.
They work him early, save him a little bit in the middle of the game, and then work him late. I could see that happening. I could definitely see that happening. So, all right. Well, I believe that brings us to the most important thing I forgot.
Ooh, most important thing you forgot. We had some fun Halloween conversations yesterday.
We did.
Mike Gundy apparently dressed up as a scarecrow.
Did you ever find a picture, by the way?
I saw that Robert Allen's group had it.
Oh, really?
But okay. But I haven't actually seen it anywhere else.
Yeah.
It was a decent costume. I would have recognized him. I don't know how Brock Martin and Sione Asi didn't recognize him, apparently. I think I would have recognized Mike.
Yeah.
But I guess he'd have been a different element, so it might have been.
Right, yeah. See him at a place you don't expect to see him, and then he's in costume.
And Mike Gundy, not a fan of candy corn.
No.
Nope. Likes chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan Presley, on the other hand, loves every candy.
Including candy pretty corn. Much.
Including candy corn, yes.
Yes.
That was wild.
Yes, big fan of the fruit flavored candies.
Yes,
lots of those on his list, but some chocolate and caramel in there as well.
Yeah, that was fun. I asked a TV question.
You did.
I asked it of Malcolm.
Yep.
And were you a little surprised by his answer?
More than a little. I never would have pegged him for that.
Malcolm's a fan of Grey's Anatomy, apparently.
Yeah,
the primetime drama, soap opera, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
He likes the drama, and his old roommate Brock Martin likes the action with Peaky Blinders, and so that's interesting. But yeah, Malcolm, he started talking about some sort of character who died too.
Yeah.
And I don't know who he's talking about.
No clue.
But
it was something that happened in season 12 of the show.
Yeah, and I think they're on season 45 by now.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Something crazy.
He hasn't watched in a while. He said he stopped watching for a while, but needs to pick it back up or something.
And yeah,
I don't know. That was on the same time as House, and I know you picked House last week, and I always went to House.
Yeah, absolutely. That was no question.
Yeah,
no debate in my mind on that one. So, all right, good stuff. With that, I think that does it. So we will wrap up this edition of the Cowboy Chronicles podcast, and we will talk to you. I guess Barry Trammell and I will talk to you.
I'm not going to West Virginia.
Not going to West Virginia, Jacob. No.
That's all right. I'll get there someday, maybe.
Eventually, it'll happen.
Eventually.
It'll happen someday. So, all right. So Barry Trammell and I will talk to you on the post-game podcast of the Cowboy Chronicles. Thank you for listening.